everyone. Welcome to the call, to the replay, to those that are on Skype overseas, that are new, that are listening to the audio, that are doing the replay. I think I said that one. It's time for to talk about influence, persuasion, negotiation. So my name is Kurt Mortensen. We'll be answering some of your questions, taking you down the path to become better persuaders, because we all persuade, influence, and motivate for a living. And it's just time to learn. So we're just, for those that are new or listening to the replay, we're just going to spend a little time talking about some persuasion blunders. We're going to talk about some things that you can learn that you can use right away, and you know, take any questions that you're going to email me or tell me over the phone. We'll just take it like it is. So, get a lot of feedback and good information, so appreciate that. Hopefully, if you do have a topic that you want to discuss, just let me know. I'll be happy to talk about it. Let me give you kind of a scenario here. One of the things I've found doing seminars and talking to people, and even when you go to business school, there's always these case studies, these case histories that you learn from people's past mistakes. And so I want to kind of go through one and kind of think about how you could fix it. And so that's what I want to do, is kind of give you a scenario. In fact, in the second edition of Maximum Influence just came out, so one of the things I added was, here's the case study. What would you do? How would you apply this law of persuasion? I'm getting a lot of good feedback on that and appreciate it. So here's the scenario. It actually happened to me today. I'm always looking to see how persuasive commercials are, how persuasive salespeople are, how persuasive anything is. So I get a phone call every 56 days from the American Red Cross. Great company. They save a lot of lives. But let's see how persuasive they are. See, I have O negative. We have certain blood types, and you give blood to somebody else, it would be the same type, unless you're like me, you have the rare blood of O negative, which makes you the universal donor. What that means is I can give my blood to anybody and they won't have any adverse effects. Now, I've been giving blood for 20-plus years, and you know, other places would pay me for it, but I like the American Red Cross, and I give it to them for free. Now, when you look statistically, they're always running out of blood, especially in, well, the summer times and holidays. And basically, 4.5 million Americans would die without these blood transfusions. And you can't use synthetic blood. We use 32,000 pints of blood every day in the United States. So what that means is every 3 seconds, somebody needs blood. One out of every 10 people that go to a hospital need blood. And there's always a shortage. So if you look at the numbers, 5% of Americans will give blood. That's dismal. Now, why do I give blood? It's not because of the needle. It's not because of the free food. Hey, it saves 3 lives. It does. I'm helping out. I'm giving back. I'm going to need it someday. It's the right thing to do. And I've always felt that way, and I will always give. Regardless of my experience today, well, I will always give. Now, the challenge is I could get paid someplace else. I clocked myself leaving my house and coming back. It was 1 hour and 10 minutes, so that's a big chunk of my day, and I value my time, so that's over 1 hour. But the actual time it took to give blood was 5 minutes and 10 seconds. And I don't know all the regulations. I don't know why the whole process needs to take so long or be so evasive or so invasive that I'm going to just kind of tell you how it goes in. So 5% will do it. Now, why won't people do it? Well, some people can't. You know, there's a percent that can't. Some people are too busy. Of course, there's the needle. Some might have health issues. So there are valid reasons why. But really, they could easily have plenty of blood just by doubling or even get a couple more percentages of the people to give blood. And part of it, and for me especially, even though I'll keep doing it, it bothers me to go because of the overall experience. So I have to spend over an hour and get there. And they're pleasant, and they carded me. They looked at my ID. So I have to show them my ID to prove that it's me. And I don't know if there's these unknown blood donors, or I don't know, I guess people might try to taint the blood supply or something like that. And then they give me this booklet to read. It's like very small types, like 12 pages. If I sit and read it, we'd probably read it. If I sit there and read it, probably take me 23 minutes. And it's the same thing you're supposed to read every 56 days. So I pretend to read it, and I give it back, and then they take you to a back room, and they First of all, now you have to sign your life away that if anything bad happens, if you die, have a heart attack, that it's not their fault. So you have to, you know, you have to sign something. Then they poke you with a needle to test your blood, but then they have all these evasive, I keep saying that, all these questions that are very evasive, they're very personal, who you're sleeping with, if you've done this, if you poke yourself with a needle, if you've ever been this, if you've ever gone here. I mean, if you literally read every question, that's another 15 minutes of all these questions, and they don't keep a database. So one of the questions is, have you ever been out of the country? You know, I travel, I do seminars all over the world, and I cringe when I have to say, yes, I have, and they don't keep any data. So they have to look up all the countries, and I said, look, they looked it up last time, they're fine, it's not a big deal, they still have to talk to a supervisor, is it okay? And I know they have to do it, but these are the same questions every time. Then they leave there and you wait some more, and then they finally take your blood. Again, the blood-taking part was 5 minutes, 10 seconds. So, wow, all that time. Again, my time is valuable, as is everyone's time, and they really have never sold the benefit of why would someone spend an hour of their time to do that, to save 3 lives? So there's a couple lessons here. Again, I don't know all the rules and regulations, and I do know of American Red Cross, but the experience I would prefer with my personality is, let me pull up to a drive-up window. I'll stick my arm out, take my blood. You can ask me questions while I'm giving blood. In fact, give me my food. You say, give me a hamburger. Well, it might stop my heart, but can eat the food while they're taking the blood. Take a few minutes. That's what I would love. But so there's all these things where people just makes it very difficult to give blood. So that's lesson number one, to make it as easy as possible. And if it is regulation, explain that, make it as pleasant as possible, and maybe combine two of these things on top of each other to where it's taking less time. Because before, they had all the bags ready. This is what they just added. But throwing the bags away at the end of the day is very pricey. They only last so long, and they put stickers on in the morning, and they've been using them. If they can't use them, they throw them away. So now you have to sit there and watch them put stickers on all the vials and all the bags, which adds another 5-7 minutes to the whole process. So that's a big picture as far as making it as difficult as possible for me to give away my blood, as long, you know, taking as long as possible. And that's not counting. It wasn't really any waiting for anybody in front of me. It was just that's the process. Now, let me ask you this. What would you do to change that experience as persuaders? They need blood. It's very important. And just send me an email, and I'll read them as far as, you know, what would you do in this situation? How can you change it? Change the two things. Change the experience. Talk about that first. Then I want you to think about how do you change their marketing to get more than 5% of the people to do this. Okay? Think about that. So what your person suggesting? He says thumbs up on the drive-up window. That's one. Obviously, I probably can't do that. Another person recommend having a database so you don't have to ask questions every time. There's someone recommending, and if you're on the phone too, you can let me know if you're on the phone. If you're on Skype, just send me an email. It's saying to ask you the questions while you're given the blood. I've asked about that, and that makes perfect sense, but then if they have to throw the bag away, that's another cost. Maybe there's send you the test the night before. Maybe there's some other things that you can do. Compensate the staff for being more friendly. That, you know, that's part of it too. I mean, want people wanting to come back, having people connect. That's all part of it. Here's another one to offer full meal. Okay, that's a possibility. So there's a lot of things within the experience, and part of that's who you hire. Are they taking ownership? Are they friendly people? And you see a lot of companies do that. They don't care what you know or your education. As long as you're friendly and you're teachable, that's good enough for them. And there's a lot of truth to that. So the next question is, in the marketing, what would you do differently? Because what are people thinking about? Is it busy? Is it the needle that they're really afraid of? I mean, it hurts a little bit. You got to be honest there. It does. Although the person I had today was very good. I barely felt it. Versus if I have had people that have missed the vein and they're poking around with the needle, that does hurt. And but does keep me away for 58 days instead of 56 days. I'd have to get that bruise to heal. I'd have to get blood everywhere. So, somebody says, okay, that's good. And part of it's the marketing. So 5% of Americans will give blood, and I'm sure it's the same with all the countries around the world that are listening. I don't know what the number is in your country. Because they're competing with people to get paid. And there are a lot of people that will take your plasma and will pay you. There are, especially in college towns, people will do that all day long. It takes a couple hours. They can get, you can get a couple hundred bucks a month just by donating plasma, right? So someone says the better food, free food, or the meal. Okay, we're talking about that. Someone mentioned the free physical. Now, think about that. It is a free physical because they check your blood pressure. They're checking your iron. They're checking your heart rate. They're checking your arms to see if you've been shooting up drugs. I guess you probably don't need that. You would know if you had, you're doing that. But they get a little bitty physical there to see how your health is. I like to know my blood pressure, then I'm in the right range. So that's good. Now, that's a great idea. So you get a free physical. Maybe they can add a few things to that physical to where it has value to what they're doing, and people can get a kind of a snapshot of their health for free because we know what health care costs. Promote more that you're saving lives. And they do that a little bit, but maybe not that much. They do pull on the heartstrings. Either you're saving lives or what if it was a loved one, you're going to need blood someday. You know, they're never going to refuse you blood because you never give them blood. They don't ask. Excuse me. So that's something that you can do. Because you remember, there's two motivators. There's inspiration and there's desperation. And desperation for a loved one, inspiration be saving lives. You may use a little bit of both. The health advantages. Let me share some stuff with you. Excuse me. That was pretty amazing. That was shocked that I did not know. So my research, as I look into this and asking questions, is that when you give blood, you lose a pound. Now, how cool is that? Because a pint of blood is about a pound. So you get there, you lose a pound. But better than that, for your body to get your blood back, it'll burn 600 calories. That's what, two or three Snickers for free? Or that could be your workout that day. You don't even need to work out to, you know, lose some weight. And I've always considered giving blood, it's like an oil change. Hey, yeah, take my old blood. My body's going to make new blood. And in my mind, that motivates me more than anything. Because one of the studies shows that for men, because they have the inability to get rid of iron in their blood, that it actually, there's a 30% less chance of getting a heart attack when you give blood. Whoa. Now, that's kind of important. You know, we go to the what's in it for me and the benefits and the different things. So for guys, a 30% chance it drops that you're not going to have a heart attack. And some studies are even higher than that. And that's pretty important to know. There's some health benefits to giving blood. So back to the old, ooh, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? What's in it for me? There's some things in there. The free food, the free physical. You'll lose a pound. You burn 600 calories. It's feeling good for saving lives, reducing a heart attack, and you're getting your oil change for the year for your body. So all those things, you know, that's what is the side effect? The side there, what are the negative things? The time for me, and for some it might be the needle prick. And so when there's 10 cool things happening versus one or two negative things, then it becomes a no-brainer. But you got to do the what's in it for me, what's in it for me. Because right now, all they have is, hey, it feels good. You're giving back. You're saving some lives. And 5% of people will do it. But, hey, well, how about get another 5% and really never get to the point where we've run out of blood? Because a lot of times they take that blood, what they do now is they separate it into different things, and plasma goes over here, and this part goes over here, and the red blood cells go over here. Excuse me, man. That's how you'll be able to save all those lives. And that's just kind of a scenario I want you to kind of think through as we go through this, and that's how you become a better persuader. It can be your front lines, how you're treated, how you're comfortable. Because now the competition is, I can go someplace else and get paid for my blood versus giving it away. Okay, I love American Red Cross. I will donate there for the rest of my life. But it's difficult what I have to think about. Again, for me, it's the time. And I know for a lot of people, it's the needle. Maybe for you, it's both. And that's why they have blood drives, where there's social pressure. They come to you to make it easier, but you still got to go through that whole process. Can you automate it? Can you take the test the night before? Can I know all the rules and regulations? I don't know all those things. I'm just saying that's my experience. And if they can't change anything, they should probably tell me that they can't change and why. Then I'm okay with it. And it'll still be long, but at least I know, look, it's a government regulation, or it's this, we can't change it. Or maybe they can have a little more fun with it, they have a little more humor for example, you've probably flown Southwest before. You know, they have their regulations. There's certain things they have to talk about before they take off for the safety presentation. But they have a little fun with it, a little humor. You can tell most part for Southwest Airlines employees enjoy being there. It's a different feeling than, say, some of the other airlines. So something to think about as we go through it. The big lesson here is, what's in it for me? What are the real benefits? What does that mean? How can you get in the mind of your prospect? How can you find that one nut they're looking for? And then I get better back up and explain what I mean by that. And I've mentioned this before in the movie Up. It's a cartoon movie from Disney. There are these dogs that have these collars on that interpret their thoughts. Kind of an interesting thing. And these dogs, my favorite part of the movie is these dogs are talking, squirrel, and they'll talk some more. I'm like, squirrel. They can't focus, like ADD, squirrel, squirrel. And that's your prospect. You talk to them, they're like, squirrel. But if you can find that right nut for that squirrel, the main thing that interests them, then you can really do it. And you don't want to do it by the data dumping. That's not going to help you out. But if you can ask the right questions, you know, what's the most important thing to you to give blood? Why is that important? Or what is the one thing that held you back from giving blood in the past? Or a lot of people just start data dumping. Well, you're a bad person if you're letting a needle scare you. But maybe they're not scared of the needle. Maybe it's the time thing. And maybe right now they have to say, yeah, it does. It'll take about an hour of your time. I was reading somewhere, it's usually around 45 minutes. I counted my commute time. So 45 minutes, and yeah, it is. It is 45 minutes of your day, but you know what? It's three lives, and it makes a huge difference. And that's one way you can give back right now to where you can package it differently. Got a question here. Let's see about, oh, I want to know where they get paid for their blood. I'm sure you can look it up. They have plasma centers that pay to do that, to give blood. And they're coming here that they're re-energized to give blood. Oh, good. I'm glad you're going to go give blood because I didn't want to take away from, maybe I shouldn't have said who it was, but a great place. They do so much good in the world. And it's just, I think they could get a lot more people to do it. And I don't know the studies. That would be one thing to research. Someone's asked me is, what percent don't go because of the needles? I don't know if I have percents there. I know the big complaint is I'm too busy. But then that's with any prospect. That's easier to say than I'm afraid of needles. So especially for guys. Can you get blood? Oh, I'm busy. I can't. That's why we need to listen and ask questions. So we assume, well, it's only going to take this amount of time and this, but the reality is they're afraid of the needles. So you're saying, okay, what is it? You got to find out what the real reason is and resolve it. And let them know, yeah, it'll feel like this. This is what it's going to feel like. Just put it, you know, but it does hurt. It'll hurt for 5 seconds. And you don't want to sugarcoat that or pretend it's not going to happen because it will. Today I had a great person. I barely felt that they were probably one of the best versus, and I've had some real doozies that they did so much damage to my vein and only got the bag halfway full that they had to send me home. Because I guess if the bag's only halfway full and it didn't fill up, they're not allowed to poke you again and they have to throw the bag away and not to mention the size of the bruise I had the next day. They apologize, but I guess that's life. It's part of the process. So, okay, great questions. Get another one here as far as how do you help someone with the fear of the needle? Fear is something that's learned. Fear of a needle is not something you're born with. It's something you learn, probably. Doctor as a kid running around with a needle shooting you up in the rear end. I mean, these are fears that we generate. I've got kids that are so afraid of needles and some of them are like, oh, whatever, go ahead. So we're all different that way. Well, you could transport a bag, try to figure out where that fear comes from. I mean, some of the worst things we can do is, well, you shouldn't be. There's nothing to be afraid of. It's done a million times a year. Okay? When someone's in an emotional state of fear, logic doesn't really help out. If I'm afraid of flying and people say, well, statistically speaking, okay, still afraid, and we have to deal with that. It might be, well, let me show. I think if that was their true concern, say, well, maybe you could do this. Well, it's gonna prick a little bit. It'll last for 5 seconds, and I'll feel something like this, and slap them across the face. I don't even get away with that. But if you had, maybe a little pinch. Yep, it's gonna feel like that. And you feel like that for 5 seconds. And some people, you probably have more of a psychosis where you probably can get through that. But for most of them, I think you can say, yeah. Because when we imagine it and visualize it and imagine it, we always think it could be much worse than it actually is. Right? And that's important. Like the dentist, I don't want to go. It's going to hurt. The dentist, I want to go. Do it. Put it off. Don't want to go. Bah. Imagine. And you go. You have to go. Your teeth hurt. You're going, oh. It wasn't so bad. That was, and that's how most things are with anything. So that's one thing to take a look at. Okay. All right. So look at your questions and comments here. Appreciate the comments. Can I go through that? So that's about my next live event. That will be in Dallas here in a couple weeks. At Dallas, Chicago, New York, I believe. San Francisco coming up. All right. Well, hey, appreciate your questions. Those on the replay line, of course, that's at whypersuasion.com. You can get the recording there. You can send questions that I'll answer through the show. But with that, I want everyone to become power persuaders and go out and make the world a better place. All right, we'll talk to you next week.